Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone's persons.
Yeah.
My name Hello, all you people caught in a circular time loop.
Yes, my name is David Bell.
I am Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Predestination. Otherwise, known as Go Fuck Yourself, the movie.
Ethan Hawke, Time Cop.
Ethan Hawke, Time Cop.
Time Hawk.
So what, you're a cop?
I'm a temporal agent. We prevent crime before it takes place.
What is it?
It's a time machine. Don't ever exceed the jump limit. It can be problematic. If you ever want to stop the fizzle bomber, you'll never get another chance. Time, it catches up with us all.
Alright, just to start, This is part of our new Patreon tier, which you probably are getting familiar with, where for a certain amount, a patron can give us a movie that we have to watch and do an episode of We Just Watched for. You can check it out on our Patreon page, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. So this is one of those. This week, it's brought to you by Josh Messenger. So thank you.
That's probably right.
Yeah, I wrote the name down and everything.
It's probably accurate.
Yeah, his Patreon name is HP Loveshaft, which I just have to point out is great.
Yeah. It's a real powerhouse of a name.
So, yeah. Now, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, but I had seen Predestination before this was suggested, but you haven't.
That's correct.
Yes. What did you think of Predestination?
It's pretty good.
Yes. So... So some other context to this movie, you remember when the trailers for this were coming out, right? They advertise it as almost like an action thriller, and Ethan Hawke in the trailer plays a temporal agent, otherwise known as a time cop. And that was like, remember the joke we were making at the time, which was like, oh, they made Time Cop again. I don't know why, but like a year ago, whenever this came out, I like put it on and I was like, this will be a laugh. And this movie is crazy. It's
well, let me tell you why.
Yes.
It's based on a short story by Robert A. Heinlein.
What has he written?
Starship Troopers.
Oh, shit.
He's a big time science fiction writer, and the name of the short story is All You Zombies, which, if you remember, is a line from the movie.
Right.
And the plot of the film, as I have not read the story, but I looked it up before we started recording, it's almost verbatim, the short story.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's something. Yeah. Because everything about this movie on paper, because it's also the directors of, oh, geez, what did they just do? Or did they...
Something bad, right?
Didn't they do Winchester, I think? Or something like that?
I think so. It was something real, real lame.
They've done like not great horror. Yeah, it was Winchester, and they did Jigsaw. Daybreakers.
Oh, they did Undead as well.
Yeah, so it's like it felt like a straight to VOD movie, like very like a like Ethan Hawke, who is a great actor. He's great. But he's known for doing movies like this, where it's like, oh, this is a straight to Amazon streaming. Oh, look at this weird sci-fi that Ethan Hawke's in. So this is like a movie that's kind of made for somebody. It's made for like all the dads of the world to watch. Where it's like this just weird cheesy streaming movie that's not really on anybody's radar. That turns out to be kind of great.
Yeah, this is a very good film.
Yeah. The film is basically a thought experiment.
It's a paradox. It's a series of paradoxes.
Yeah, this is one of the best modern time travel movies made.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, should we break it down?
I mean, I guess so. I would suggest
seeing the movie before listening to this, which might cut our listenership because I don't think a lot of people have seen this movie. But it's, I mean, it's on streaming. I mean, I think you have to rent it. It's been around for a while.
Yeah, it's from 2014.
Yeah. It feels like a 2014 movie.
Yeah, it's pretty, it handles time travel in a cool way. Like, the actual effect of time travel.
Yeah, I like how time travel looks in this.
Where it just, it happens just abruptly. The people just vanish, and it sends out this shockwave that, like, dishevels the room. Like, Ethan Hawke jumps while he's in a car, and it blasts out all the windows in the car.
Yeah, but the time travel itself is they blink out of existence. They're just like, mm-hmm. It's like Looper. Yep. Looper has that same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This okay. So this is about Jesus Christ.
It's not about Jesus Christ.
No.
It's hard to explain, but basically, this movie is about time travel is invented in 1981.
Yes.
There is an organization that is set up to make sure nobody screws with the time stream, and it's also like
they're time cops.
They're time cops. They're making sure nobody messes with the time stream, and they go back in time to prevent huge terrorist attacks and mass murders and shit like that from ever happening.
Right.
And we learn that Ethan Hawke is one of 11 agents that they have, and we ultimately discover that every single agent is the same person.
Right.
It's a I believe the correct term is intersex. It's a person who is born with both sets of internal organs, so it winds up being both a man and a woman depending on the timeline.
Right.
But it's the same person.
Yeah, the movie starts with Ethan Hawke. No, it's not. It's the movie starts with Ethan Hawke getting a new face that is Ethan Hawke's face. He's going after a bomber who's a time bomber. And he's a time cop trying to catch this time bomber. And he horribly burns his face and he gets surgery and it turns him into Ethan Hawke. And then he goes back on a mission.
We don't realize that at the beginning.
Oh, really?
You don't realize that he was already Ethan Hawke.
Okay. That I'm glad. So did this work on you, by the way? Did the twist?
Yes.
Okay.
It did.
Okay. Because watching it a second time, it seems so obvious.
Well,
I think when I watched it the first time, it also worked on me. But when he gets the surgery, he looks in the mirror and goes, "I don't even recognize my own face anymore." And to me, I was like, "Oh, that's so obvious! Don't say that. You're giving it away." But I'm glad it you know how it is. It's one of those things where you reread like Fight Club, and he's like, "Sometimes I think me and Tyler are the same person." And it's like, "Oh, you're just saying it."
Yeah, you're just like telling us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it says it like it burned his vocal cords.
Yeah.
It worked on me in the sense that like they never show Jane's suitor. We'll explain that.
Yeah.
They never show Jane's suitor and they never show the fizzle bomber. So you assume it's one of the two.
Because
they're really the only two characters.
Right. You sense that something's going to be revealed.
Right. But I didn't, like, even anticipating that, I still didn't anticipate the exact way that it played out.
Right.
And I definitely didn't guess that every single one of them was the same person.
I know. It's so good. So, so Ethan Hawke goes back in time and he's working as a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs into this guy who's a writer, mm-hmm. and they just start having a casual conversation, basically. And they're talking about the bomber at the mm-hmm. same time. And the guy at the bar, it's basically just like, "Oh, you want to hear the craziest story ever?" They, like, make a bet over a bottle of booze
mm-hmm.
over this crazy story. And the story he tells begins with, like, "When I was a little girl." So immediately, mm-hmm. you know, oh, okay, this is apparently this is a trans man.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with a little girl who was raised in an orphanage, didn't know who her parents were, was extremely smart, fought with everybody, and eventually gets, like, this, like, space program, gets the attention of the space program.
Yeah, we're led to believe that they're trying to basically make astronaut wives, like,
yes.
people to go into space with astronauts to
Fuck
be their
astronauts,
wives.
It's
very Yeah.
And she, yeah, it's very like, well, it's supposed to be very problematic. Like,
yes.
And so she still trains with them because she just wants to go to space. And then what the fuck happens? She doesn't end up getting involved with them. She ends up meeting a guy.
Well, she gets flushed out of the program for what we're told, like, she gets a medical evaluation and the doctor is looking at the chart and talking to the head of the project, Mr. Robinson, who's played by Noah Taylor. And he says, the doctor says, well, this fails her. Obviously she's disqualified because of this. And Noah Taylor's like, all right. So he goes and talks to her and they make her believe that she's being flushed out of the program because she got into a fight.
Yeah,
right?
Got it.
And what we learn later is that it's because she's an intersex person.
Right.
And for some reason that biology makes her disqualified for this project.
Right. Yes. And then she ends up meeting a guy and having a fling. And the guy just books it. The guy after their fling just like bounces.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's left pregnant and she has a kid. And then the kid is stolen from the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And she also finds out in like the same week, this is when she finds out that she has organs for both male and female genders.
Well,
this is the doctors take the initiative here.
Yeah, this is a devastating sequence of the film. She wakes up after having a C-section deliver her baby, and the doctor's like, yeah, your baby's fine. Has anybody ever talked to you before, anybody at an exam? And she's like, no. And he's like, well, you see, basically they tell her that she has both sets of internal reproductive organs, but that they just kind of decided to give her a hysterectomy and basically begin the procedure to transition her into a man. Like, right. They didn't consult her at all.
Right. Mind you, we should note, again, what I like about this movie, time travel was invented in the 90s. What we're watching takes place in, like, the 40s. So that
time travel's invented in 1981.
That's it.
They say in the film.
Ethan
Hawke goes to 92 at one point, but that's, yeah.
It's important to note that these are 40s doctors, is my point.
Yeah, it's the 60s actually at this point.
Oh, is it? Okay.
She's born in the 40s.
Right, she's born in the 40s. Yeah.
These are real shit geese doctors.
Yeah.
Like, they do a major life-altering procedure without her consent or knowledge.
Right.
And he basically just tells her, "Yeah, you're going to have to live like a man now."
Yeah. And so that's what happens, is she transitions into a man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the man that Ethan Hawke is talking to, right?
Yeah, that's who he's talking to at the bar. Yes, that she becomes John, starts working
as a
stenographer, and then types up a real crap story, but notices that it gets sold to some magazines. So he decides, well, I'm just going to start writing my own stories, and he writes under the unmarried mother.
Yeah.
And that brings us to talking to Ethan Hawke in the bar.
Right. And then Ethan Hawke starts kind of revealing that he knows more about this guy's life.
He says to him, what would you do if I could put the guy that ruined your life in front of you and guarantee that you get away with it? Would you kill him?
Right.
And he says, in a heartbeat, without thinking about it. And he's like, okay. Then he starts to reveal, like, he knows what orphanage he came from. He knows that he used to go by Jane. And now that he goes by John, and he didn't tell him, I don't think he told him either pieces of that information.
No, because he gets immediately suspicious of him, and he's like, who the fuck are you? And he basically reveals, I'm a time cop.
He reveals I'm a time traveler.
Yeah, and he says, the guy who knocked you up, that's the bomber I'm after. And so, would you, like,
well,
I'm going to bring you...
He says, I believe he might be the bomber.
Right. But yeah, it all seems like the first time you watch this movie, it all seems crazy
crazy,
because it's like, why would you even do this? Like, he's like, I think this guy's the bomber. I'm going to bring you through time and you're going to kill him.
But I want to stress that we're 45 minutes into the movie at this point. Like, the first half of this movie is just going through this woman's life,
which is great.
Like, the tragedy of this woman's life, and it's really, really good.
It's really compelling. It's like it's not sci-fi. That's something.
Not
that,
at all.
Yeah, nothing about what we've explained is a sci-fi story. It's just sort of someone's life being told at a bar. And so immediately when you start watching this movie that you think is a time cop movie, you're immediately like, okay. Something happened in the marketing of this movie. And you kind of suspect it's good for that reason, because it was marketed of like, yeah, time cop. And well, it was clear that whoever was tasked with selling this movie was like, I don't fucking know what to do with this.
I don't have any idea how to sell this movie.
Yeah.
Well, the thumbnail for it on streaming is like this picture, this like intense picture of Ethan Hawke wearing a fedora. And it's like, he must protect his past to save the future. And it's like, that is sort of what this movie is.
Yeah, it's so vague. Like, because this movie
is about so much more than that.
Yeah, this movie is closer to like Primer than Time Cop.
I still haven't seen Primer.
Right, but in terms of like time travel movies, where it's more of this is more of a mind fucking type of movie than a crazy action film. And so when you go to watch this movie, be prepared to sit and watch people talking for a while.
Oh, there's no action in it.
Yeah, there's no action.
This is not an action film.
No, it's not.
This is a thinking person's science fiction drama.
Yes, it is. Jesus. So again, I can't stress enough, like, if you're still listening and you haven't watched this, maybe go watch it first.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. John goes along with Ethan Hawke.
Mm-hmm.
And they time cop
of
back.
Course.
They time cop back to, and he's going to shoot the guy who knocked him up. Before they meet.
It's the day they meet.
Yeah, they're doing a reverse McFly, where they're going back in time to break up a couple. That couple being John and the as Jane and the guy who's going to knock her up.
He bumps into Jane and they have the conversation that we saw earlier that Jane had with her mystery lover,
right.
And it turns out to be John.
Yep. Long story short, John fucks himself, goes back in time and fucks himself, which is great. That like who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? John turns out to be both mother and father of the child that disappeared.
Mm-hmm. And that's not. That's not yet the biggest mind fuck of this film.
Yeah, that's not the, the end of it, you guys. This fucking movie.
Ethan Hawke leaves them. Like, he travels.
Yeah, he goes fucks off and does his own time cop stuff. Because
we don't see him do that errand yet, actually. That's
no,
right.
It happened. It does happen kind of at the same time that they're hanging out, actually. It is. He does go back to do what the errand.
Okay, so we should probably just say the errand, right?
Yeah, Ethan Hawke
is the one who steals Jane's baby from the hospital.
Yep, Ethan Hawke steals Jane's baby from the hospital, goes back in time to the 40s, and leaves the baby at the orphanage, revealing that Jane's baby is Jane.
Mm-hmm.
So Jane, at this point, is a complete loop. Jane had sex with herself.
Yes.
Had a baby. That baby went back in time and became her.
Yes.
It is fucking wild.
We learn in a conversation that Ethan Hawke has with Mr. Robinson, Noah Taylor, that agents are chosen because they're paradoxes.
Right.
Because they exist out of time, so nothing they do can affect the time stream in that way.
Right. And so this is like Ethan Hawke is almost like recruiting this person through this process. I like the reveal because they're like talking in a hallway and you're not sure like where they are. And then he leaves and Ethan Hawke's like, well, and he walks in and it's the hospital.
Yeah.
It's the hospital that you see earlier. That's like, it's the same like shot of the man walking in to steal the baby.
When the first thing he does when he leaves John with Jane is that he tries to stop the incident in the beginning of the film that burns his face.
Right.
And he's not able to stop it. He corners the guy who we still don't see clearly, but he has very long hair.
Yeah, the bomber.
The bomber, yeah. And they get into a fight and the guy just fucking beats him.
Right.
And he's not in time to stop the explosion. But we see the incident from his point of view. So now we realize that in the beginning of the film, we see the bomb go off. He gets his face burned horribly and is reaching for his time device. And then somebody walks up and pushes it into his hands. And then we see that it was Ethan Hawke that pushes it into his hands.
Into his own hands. Watching
into
him.
Into his own hands.
Anakin Skywalker all over the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Just a mess.
And then he goes to the hospital and he has that conversation with Mr. Robinson, and then he steals baby Jane and puts her at the orphanage.
Yeah.
And then goes back to pick John up.
Right.
And it's the moment where we learned when John was telling a story at the bar, he was describing the day that his lover abandoned him when he was still Jane. They were just sitting at a bench in a park, and the guy just got up and said, "I'll be right back," and she never saw him again. And so now we see what happened is of course, the lover was John. He spots Ethan Hawke and says to Jane, "I'll be right back," and then gets up and goes into time with him, and that's it.
Yeah, and I like that John is pissed.
Like, yeah, of course he is.
John's like, "Motherfucker, that was me. I pulled that shit." And like Ethan Hawke says something of like, "Look, she'll get over it. You got over it." Like, kind of thing.
Well,
like, look, I know you were mad about this, but now you understand. Like,
right,
you come
and
full
then
circle.
And he says, "And now she knows."
Yeah, and now she knows. That's what he does.
Because she is him.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
Like, well, now you know.
He's like, "Look, she'll get over it, as evidenced by you right now."
Right, yeah. Like,
it's again one of those situations where you're like, "Ah, fuck my head, ow."
Yeah, the movie, it's called Predestination for a very specific reason.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
So he takes John to the future in 1982,
right.
I think, or 85.
Sure.
And leaves John there. Like, we learn that he's got, that was his last task, and he's going to go retire to 1975, like,
right.
three months before the Fizzle Bomber's biggest bomb goes off, which destroys like 10 blocks of Manhattan, I think, and kills 10,000 people.
Yes.
And Mr. Robinson's like, "Are you sure you want to go there so close to the bomb?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm sure." And we learn that when agents retire to whatever their final place is, their time device is decommissioned.
Yes.
So he goes to 1975 and leaves John with this tape recorder that we've seen him dictating wisdom and guidance into this tape recorder. And at first you think it's like a journal for himself, but then you realize, oh, he was preparing the next guy.
Right.
And he leaves the tape recorder with John, who has to recover for a while because jumping so far into the future really fucks you up, apparently.
Yeah.
So he's in 1975, and oh my god,
that's all right. This is the next reveal, which is that
he writes a book.
All right, he writes a book, and and this is when
on the same typewriter that John wrote on.
Yeah, with the author,
mm-hmm.
which is what is it again?
Unmarried Mother.
The Unmarried Mother, which mm-hmm. pretty much leads you to realize, oh, okay, this is the same person.
Yeah, he types Jane and then crosses it out and types John
yeah.
as the author. So we realize that it flashes back to,
It Robinson, doesn't not yet, but it's clear, like, again, this movie began with him getting a new face. So it's like, oh, okay, shit. Like, at this point, at least when I first saw it, I was like, oh, he's, okay, they're the same person.
Mm-hmm. It's he is Jane, is John. And we see a flashback of that initial bombing, and then you realize that the person who is horribly burned is not Ethan Hawke. It's the actress who is playing John Jane.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, so when they reconstructed his face in the beginning and it was just like Ethan Hawke with some scars on, you're like,
yeah,
oh, I thought he was just being dramatic because he had a lot of scars.
Right.
No, he literally looks like a different person.
The doctor was going through the catalog and he was like, "I'm going to give him the Hawk. Let's give him the Hawk."
Yeah. It's just like a barber
thing.
Style in Red Dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Give him the Ethan Hawk.
Give him the Ethan Hawk. Classic.
It's like he's looking at himself in the mirror. I'm a monster. You're Ethan Hawk.
You're good,
you're fine.
Man. You're good.
You're fine, dude. So he's looking through this evidence file that Mr. Robinson gave him when he went back in time to 75 to like retire, and realizes that like it's he took a timer from the bombing in the beginning, and they traced the purchase order and tracked the guy's movement. So he tracks him in a laundromat and realizes that it's a much older version of himself who has gone completely bugshit crazy.
Yes,
but we learn is like this was part of the plan. Like he's the fizzle bomber, but he's bombing people because like that episode.
It's to prevent other tragedies.
It's
right?
To prevent bigger tragedies. Yeah,
they also learn that he has time. He has time delirium.
He does.
Yeah, from traveling through time fucks with your head more and more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like his plan is imperfect. Is my point.
It's imperfect, but it was always part of Mr. Robinson's plan.
Right, like it's also the reason why time cops exist.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the entire reason why time cops exist. Mr. Robinson mentions to him, like, after he learns that he did an illegal jump to try to stop the initial bombing, he's like, I'll take the consequences. He's like, no, it's fine. I mean, it would be nice to have somebody working outside of the Bureau who wouldn't have to answer the regulations that we need. So and of course, when Ethan Hawke travels to 1975 to retire, his time device doesn't decommission, and that's on purpose.
Right, so he can this bomber.
Right, he's meant to be this rogue agent.
Yeah, that he is also hunting himself.
Yes.
And that he ultimately shoots.
He shoots his old self, he sure does.
So it completes, it's the snake eating itself. It's mm-hmm. It completes the whole thing where he's his own mother and father, and he ends his own life. He's in a completely self-contained loop.
Mm-hmm. And it ends with him staring at his time device that hasn't decommissioned. And then it says, like, the last lines are like, and this is where the title of the short story comes from. He's like, I know where I come from. I know where I came from. Where did all you zombies come from?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like a final mind fuck for everybody watching.
Yeah.
And then it ends with he's staring at it. So you're like, is he going to destroy it or isn't he going to destroy it? And of course, he's not going to destroy it. He's going to become
the agent. He's just going to continue the loop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot like that episode of Star Trek, City on the Edge of Forever.
Which one is that?
It's the one where Spock and Kirk get stuck back in time on Earth and save this woman's life. But then learn that by saving this woman's life, the butterfly effect causes like the Nazis to win World War II and Hitler conquers the Earth, and like all this terrible shit happens. So they have to let this one woman die.
See, I was gonna say it's like that episode Time Zero where they find Data's head in an excavation site and learn that he goes back in time to have adventures with Mark Twain. But I think yours is better.
Yeah,
yours is closer.
They're both Star Treks.
Well, they're both great Star Treks. Don't get me wrong, but yours is a better analogy. Yeah, this fucking movie. It's
pretty good.
It's pretty great. It's a real mind fuck. They're really fucking your mind in this one. I also like when we learn that that John/Jane is their own mother and father, they cut back to the bar and someone's putting on I'm My Own Grandpa on the jukebox.
Let me tell you something, Dave.
Yeah.
In reading about the short story that this is based on,
yeah,
he wrote that song into the short story.
Oh shit. Really? Mm-hmm. That I the only reason I was like, this song sounds familiar, and I looked it up and it's like an old song, but I was like, why do I know this song? It's because we just did a Best Bad Movie about the Stupids where Tom Arnold also sings it.
Mm-hmm. There's a Futurama episode where this, I think it's called Roswell That Ends Well.
Yes.
Where Fry becomes his own grandpa.
Yes. That's basically what this is.
Yeah.
But done in a, like, again, and I guess the short story, I feel like, is the same mission. Is someone just set out, I mean, there's more to it than this, but it really feels like someone just wanted to make a mind fuck, like created this, it's like creating like a puzzle box where they're like, I want to create this beautiful, this life that loops in on itself. And how do you do that? And how do you explain it? And it's like, like the movie around it, like as a story, it's not necessarily that it's compelling in that it's a mind fuck movie and you're like, what the hell is happening? Mm-hmm. But it's just not a traditional film in any sense.
No.
Like it doesn't feel like it has the structure of a normal film because it's not, it's like a piece of art in this weird way where it's like, we're just trying to give you this one mind, like this one mind fuck, this one thought experiment.
And the idea that like all 11 and I guess now 12 with John, all agents have been Jane.
Yeah.
Jane slash John. Each one of them has had a full career as a time agent, then has to do this thing where they ensure their own birth, you know, by going back and making sure that John meets Jane, and then by going back and stealing baby Jane and leaving her at the orphanage, and then they go retire to different points in history. It's like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Like, I'm going cross-eyed explaining it.
Yeah, no, It's really good.
It's
really good, you guys. This fucking movie, Predestination 2014, nobody saw, is a very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Was it even in theaters?
I don't know. I remember you gleefully sharing the trailer.
Yeah, because again, the trailer looked ridiculous.
They were like, it's Ethan Hawke, Time Cop.
Yeah, it's just Time Cop. All right, let's see. It appeared at a... It had a general release in the UK. Man, it did not have much of a release. Yeah.
Nope. No, it did not.
Yeah. But it's got an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes. Most people who see it is just like, wow, shit, this is really good.
Mm-hmm. It's a 69 on Metacritic.
Yeah. It's been, oh, wow, it was nominated for stuff.
Well, I'm sure like Saturn Awards and stuff.
Yeah, and film festivals and stuff. It won. Yeah, this fucking movie. More people like I more people should watch this movie, especially people who are into sci-fi, especially people who are into like shit like Looper or like Primer or you know, like those lesser known sci-fi gems. That's what this is. This reminds me of like Coherence, which I don't know if you've seen yet, Tom.
I haven't seen Coherence.
Yeah,
no.
Or like these smaller.
I think.
Okay, it looks like this did have a theatrical release from what I'm reading.
It's an Australian film.
This is?
Yeah, like if you notice the company production credits at the beginning are like Film Australia and stuff, and it all these awards that it's been nominated for, a lot of Australian awards.
They're all like the Golden Kangaroo, I assume.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Golden Kangaroo. And the lead actress is Australian.
Oh, okay. What's her name? Sarah Snook? Is that the...
Sarah Snook, yeah.
That's an Australian's name.
That's solid. Solid Aussie name.
Yeah.
Oh,
she was also in Winchester.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, after Predestination, I would trust these directors. I'd be like,
yeah,
sure, I can't wait for whatever mindfuck Winchester's going to be. And then it's like, oh, no.
Yep.
That's a shame.
Isn't Jason Clarke Australian, too?
Probably. I mean...
And he's in Winchester? Man, it's a big Aussie conspiracy.
They're having a whole fucking party over there. And, I don't know what they're up to.
Yep, he's Australian as shit.
Time loops.
Trying to sneak Jason Clarke in there like we don't know he's from Queensland.
Mm-hmm. We know. We know what you are, Jason.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I don't... I think in terms of...
This is a hard film to talk about.
Right. So what I was going to say, and it has a lot of similarities with like Looper, which is obviously a bigger film.
I know. I think Looper wishes it was this film.
I was going to say, in terms of story, this is the superior film by far. In
yes.
terms of like craft, Looper is the better film.
Yeah,
but,
and in terms of like the ability to get people's fucking asses in the chair, because Looper, I think Looper had to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Like if this movie got to the wrong producer, it would have easily become a ripoff of Looper, where they like added more time, like action stuff.
Action, yeah, and
like some
there'd have been a sojourn to China for no reason.
Yeah, exactly. Got to get those China bucks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Looper feels like it was touching on this stuff enough for mainstream audiences to feel like it's pretty deep, but it wasn't. It didn't go the extra mile that this movie did. in terms of the sci-fi aspect of it. Like, Looper feels like it's pop sci-fi, where it's like there's a sci-fi element in it, but for me, my favorite versions of sci-fi is the ones that are like, okay, well, now let's explore this, and let's think about it, and let's, like, really dig into it, and mm-hmm. what the possibilities are. Looper, it felt like the time travel is just, like, a setup for an action film, you know?
Kinda, yeah.
Like, I like Looper, don't get me wrong.
No, Looper's yeah. a good film, and it is
superior. I'm not saying Looper is trying to be this.
No, this is a better story, which, I mean, it was, like I said, it seems to be almost verbatim from, like, a legendary science fiction author, so right. that makes sense.
Yes, that checks out.
Yeah. Yeah. This, man, I'm not sure what else to say about this film. It's, I mean, if you've gotten this far, we've spoiled the whole damn thing for you.
Yeah, it's still worth watching. It's worth, because I was texting and talking to Tom before this of being like, I can't wait for you to watch this movie. I'm very excited about you watching this movie.
This is not at all what I expected.
And that's why is that I think the fun of this movie is to show your friends it and watch them be completely fucking surprised mm-hmm. about what it is.
Yeah.
Like, there's a few movies like that. Like, I always enjoyed showing friends Old Boy to just watch the horror on their face. Just
That's
watching Old
one.
Boy, like, those two, they seem like a good couple to you. They seem like a fun couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they seem like they really get along.
Yeah.
They seem like they have passionate sex.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Seems like things are going to work out for them.
Mm.
yeah. Yeah, this is one of those where it's such a delightful mindfuck of a movie. And I enjoy, I think my biggest, I don't want to say criticism, was before I was tasked with rewatching this movie, I thought like, oh, I might be bored. Because I remember watching this movie and thinking it was really fun. But as a movie, it's not necessarily the most entertaining film because it is just a thought experiment.
Yeah, you have to sit there and quietly watch it.
Yeah, and watching it again, I was like, yeah, I'm still enjoying this, and I know why now.
It's a good story.
Yeah, it's also good performances.
Oh, yeah, no, it's very well acted, particularly the actress.
Yeah, the Australian-named lady. She's great in it.
Yeah, she's excellent.
Yeah, and Ethan Hawke's good in it. Everybody's good
yeah,
in
he's,
it.
You're always going to get like a baseline quality from a Hawke.
Yeah.
Even in something like Sinister.
That's the Hawke guarantee.
That's the Hawke promise.
Yeah. Ethan Hawke, yeah, he might be the only reason to watch Sinister. And the lawnmower.
They get that sweet cameo from D'Onofrio.
Oh, yeah, where D'Onofrio, is that the one where D'Onofrio literally Skypes into the movie?
Yep.
Yeah, where D'Onofrio was clearly like, look, I'm not coming to set. You're going to have to point a camera at a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened.
The funniest thing about Sinister is that driving home after watching it with my friends, I was all of a sudden went like, oh, he's the boogeyman. My friends looked at me like, the fuck? Like, because don't they call him Mr. Boogie or something in it?
Something like that.
It's
Who
something
can say?
Very close to Boogeyman that was like beating me in the face and I just didn't, it just didn't click. Children can see him.
Right. But he's working with the kids, which is nice of him.
Yeah.
He's like, he's a friend to children. He's teaching them craftsmanship.
And self-reliance.
Yeah. How to home alone their family to death.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm trying to think of any final thoughts for this movie.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Watch
we run
it.
Into this problem where if a movie is like good, like what more is there to say about it? If it's comically bad, it's like, oh, well, we can make fun of it.
Yeah, and make a meal out of this.
Yeah, if it's tragically bad, it's like, oh, how could we change this? I wouldn't change a thing in this movie. It's just...
No.
Yeah, it's just a nice
it's
little sci-fi gem.
It's well acted. It's well... shot and directed. Edited. I mean, it's like right at 90 minutes. It's like 95 minutes, so it doesn't like overstay its welcome. Doesn't belabor its point.
Right. The only thing I would change, I guess, is the marketing.
Well, they had no idea how to sell.
They
this
had
film.
No idea how to sell it. And just all right. Here's this. All right. What if? Okay. This is a what if. Mm-hmm. You just said it's about 95 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
What if they brought it to 2 hours? Right. And by doing, well, what if they brought it to 2 hours by changing nothing, but just adding action sequences and made it an action sci-fi? Would that have been bad? And I'm asking that, like, just complete hypothetical. I think that my instinct says that is a bad thing to do.
Yeah.
But they had that little extra space. Like, if it had a little more budget, they just had, like, one car chase or one, like, because there are sequences where there could be action, like where he's defusing the bomb and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are sequences that could potentially have become action sequences.
Yeah. I think that, I don't know. My knee jerk is no, like you said.
Right. I just, going back to Old Boy, which is nothing like this movie, Old Boy manages to actually have action sequences in it for being a movie. Yeah. And which is weird. I almost always like forget that about Old Boy because the plot is so fucking crazy on its own that it also has that hallway scene. That's amazing. And so, like, I'm wondering if you could have made this an action movie that would have been thought of the same way as Old Boy would, where it's like, oh, that's an action movie, but it's also just a major mind fuck.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Part of me says, don't change a thing because I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. I don't know. It would be, I guess you could, but it would be just like such clear filler.
Right. Yeah, you need it have to be like, that's the thing, like Old Boy, it is technically filler, but it's like the hallway sequence is a 3-minute uncut fight scene between one guy and like 20 dudes in a hallway. Like, yeah, that's technically filler, but it's great filler.
That's also kind of the purpose of Old Boy. That's why its twist works.
Right, you're right, because you think you're watching Taken. It's, you think you're watching, watching a revenge
action revenge movie.
Yeah, you're right. That is the purpose. And then it just, yeah, it just
it's,
really.
It's Old Boy is like 95% of a misdirect.
Yes. Old Boy is like a practical joke.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. That's why, again, why I like watching it with friends, where they're just like, yeah, oh, yeah, I'm so pumped.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you watch the Korean version of Taken?
Yeah.
It's Old Boy. You'll love it.
Yeah.
You say the same thing when introducing I Saw the Devil. No, it's good. You're going to love it.
You're going to love it.
It's definitely not going to haunt you.
No. Yeah, shit. I think that's all I have to say.
Yeah, that's all I've got to say. It's a good film. Watch it.
Yeah, fucking watch Predestination, the time cop Ethan Hawke movie.
Yeah, that's pretty much all
I want this to be in the Time Cop universe. That would have been amazing.
If he runs into Van Damme?
Yeah, or if the first time he introduced time travel, he's like, okay, now get in this car. All right, we're gonna drive directly at this cement wall. Trust me, this is the only way to travel through time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a highly scientific process that involves Why put that wall there?
Why put that wall there?
You know what? Because if you can't travel through time, you might as well fucking die.
Yeah. Then
might as
fuck
well smash.
You.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. Here's a cement wall. All right. Well, guys, we mentioned this being a Patreon tier. And
yeah.
So if you're interested in that, go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed and check out that tier. We also have other tiers. We have exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac and Tom and Jeff Watch Batman. That's a tier. You can get access to that. You can also watch movies with us every week. We have a tier for fucking movie nights where we'll watch. We have watched Time Cop.
So we have. We'll probably watch it again.
We'll probably watch it again. We're hitting a point.
Our own predestination loop.
I was about to say we're hitting that loop.
Yep.
We're gonna fuck ourselves.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the goal. That's the goal of all of this.
Yes. That's evolution. That's why we're here.